Hey, let go my embryo.
No, let go my embryo.
Doctors say if you want a baby with a higher birth weight, you should use frozen embryos.
Listen, I want a strong, healthy baby, so let go my embryo, you witch.
Let go my embryo, you cow.
Hey, you two, there's no need to fight. We have plenty of frozen embryos to go around.
So I'll let go my embryo.
Thanks. Oh, and could you pass the sperm?
Sure.
Frozen embryos are an important part of this complete pregnancy. Thaw one out today.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween.
Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween.
Dressing up for Halloween was fun when we were kids. However, it seems a bit inappropriate for the Vice President of Human Resources to be wearing a purple pimp costume.
But really kind of accurate.
Do you think Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween that the entire accounting department should wear Spice Girl outfits? That is, the all-male accounting department?
A new meaning of scary spice.
A lone officer shouldn't look like a pirate.
Avast, ye have bad credit. Arr.
So when you see Frankenstein at the fax machine, the werewolf at the water cooler, or the phantom of the photocopier, don't be afraid. It's just the ghoul of the cubicle. Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween. A real American hero.
Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween.
Did you put a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Batman?
Now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, October 21st.
Good morning, love
Sherry's
bug.
Sherry's dancing already.
I love Real American Heroes. It makes me smile every morning.
I know, it's pretty cool, huh?
And it's pretty funny.
So you got a different name for me every day?
I don't know.
Sunshine one day.
Today's Love Bug.
Love Bug today?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're so love buggy today. I don't know.
Is that like huggable?
Yeah, and oh, okay. You're an awful extra lovey.
Oh, really?
Like I have to say this. Yeah. You're like 100 pounds lighter than when I first started working here. And I'm not saying it has anything to do with me, I swear.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, it's like lighter walking in the room. It's nice.
Really?
Yeah, I promise.
You notice that?
I totally do.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You see, I haven't noticed anything.
No, it is. Like, I mean, and maybe it's, you know,
It's you, Sherry.
No,
it's you.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm really not trying
to
say that.
No, but it is.
Like,
I mean, you're half the show, you know, and before you showed
quarters,
up.
Three quarters. Let's just say three quarters.
Yeah. You move in there. You're getting there.
Well, I have to tell. Well, according to someone on my Facebook today, said that today should be the Sherry show, and anytime you want to talk, you have to call me LA, of, I mean, Queen of LA Talk Radio.
Okay.
It was really funny. It was like, tell Sam anytime he wants to speak out loud, he has to say, excuse me, Queen of LA Talk Radio,
okay,
can I talk? I was like, that's a little too much. A good idea, but a little too much.
See, that's what I'm not going to show you how to work the board here, because then you'll totally take over.
I don't want to. I don't want to. I like having you having all the responsibility, and I can just sit back and have fun.
I see.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You can take all the pressure.
Yeah.
The pressure to run the show.
Yeah. But no, I mean, definitely the energy level has gone up on the show since you showed up, you know?
Whatever it is, it's nice to see you being love buggy.
So I'm 100, 100 pounds lighter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and your muscles, your guns are getting bigger too. And then I drove by and you were outside the studio and you looked awfully sexy sitting on the thingy.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the cigarette?
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't want to announce that you were a smoker in case you cared.
No, everybody knows.
I don't know if it's this Italian thing that I have going on in my head, but my good friend who, like, the partner that I do the Changing the World, We Are What We Do.com thing girl, right. She's in Rome right now for the... it was the red carpet premiere of her film with Paolo Coelho, The Alchemist. Like, she's a film for him. And so she was at the premiere of her film. And so she's been posting pictures. And Italy's my favorite country. And I had told her about it before, how I want to live there. And she wrote today, she said, Italian men really are handsome and kind. She's like, I'm thinking about not coming back. I'm like, I know. I know. They're like supposed to be, there was like, I think the top rated lovers like in the world. And it was like Italy, Brazil and someplace else, but we were nowhere on that. You American men suck.
I wonder what that is. Is that like an attitude thing, you think?
I don't know. When I was in Italy, granted I was only 19, but like they just walked around with like just such like suave and like they were just they were just.
So it's not like arrogance or anything.
I didn't find it arrogance. No. I found it hot.
I see. You find everything hot.
Not everything. I mean, you were hot this morning smoking.
Oh, thank you. Somehow that's not the first image that comes to my mind is looking hot when I'm smoking a cigarette.
I think it's the love bugginess coming out of you. It makes you more attractive.
Thanks.
No worries.
Yeah, anything that I can do to look more attractive, I'll do it.
Even being called a love bug. Is that like Herbie? Remember Herbie, the little love bug?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not comparing you to a car, by the
Volkswagen.
Way. Yeah.
The Beetle.
Not comparing you at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
what's going on with you this morning? Are you good?
Yeah.
You got your coffee and energy drink.
Well, that's a new thing today.
And the water. Do those energy drinks really work?
I'll let you know. You'll hear in about an hour.
Oh, you never had one before?
No, I have. But I used to just drink them by themselves before I had like this major addiction to uppers. And no, they totally did. This one is zero carb and it's got fruit flavoring, so it doesn't taste like chemicals. It doesn't taste like a Red Bull does.
I think they all have like fruity taste.
No, the Red Bull like tastes like cough medicine to me, but this one like has some natural fruit juices in it, so it's better tasting.
Yeah.
But for some reason, coffee is not, my four shots are not hitting me anymore, and I refuse to go to five. I did that one day.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you feel? You feel like you're, you know, sluggish or what?
No.
I mean, what do you mean when you say it's not enough?
Well, I mean, I gotta keep a show going, don't I?
Yeah, but you mean you can't stay awake for 2 hours?
Well, no, I'm not tired, like sleepy, but it just like gets my mind, like it keeps my mind awake.
I see.
Remember that day that I was on tea and you were like, what's wrong with you? I remember that. These things don't leave my head.
I see.
So that's why I'm trying to tell you that coffee machine idea is all your fault.
Yeah, I suppose. Does anything leave your head?
No.
You remember everything.
I do remember. But then again, I remember nothing, too, at the same time. I don't know. I mean, when it comes to other people, I guess not. Or when it comes to being mean to me.
Yeah.
I'll keep that around forever.
Yeah, there you go, you know.
I'll use it as, like, you know, a strategy to get things I want.
Yeah. Were you bullied around in school and stuff?
No.
No, huh?
I mean, you know, I told you I got, like, the fat name calls and stuff. But that was, like, by kids already that were made fun of themselves.
Right.
But I was, like... wouldn't say like in the in crowd, but I mean, everyone had its like little separate clubs and stuff, and we were in the drama one. And I had all the friends. I mean, I was kind of like, I would call myself the social director.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the groups and stuff. Like I would put all the parties together and have everybody.
Why am
over
I not surprised?
Shush. My poor mom. She'd have like people over her house all the time.
Yeah.
But she loved it though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I wouldn't say that I was bullied. Why do you ask that?
No, I don't know. Did you mention bullying or something?
Well, I just said that kid would like make fun of, you know, the weight. I mean, kids were always cruel and would talk about weight stuff, but as far as like,
but you weren't pushed around or anything. Mm-mm. Okay, good.
No, I once got into a fight like once, but I hit them.
You did.
Well, they were talking about somebody else and like being really mean to this girl. And I was in sixth grade.
Wow. Isn't that noble of you?
Yeah. Cause if I punch somebody, not very noble.
Really?
Yeah. Good job, Sherry, keeping the peace.
Yeah.
What about you? How are you in
school?
What
about me? You know, I mean, I think there were times when I was bullied, maybe when I was young and stuff. But I remember one time when I was maybe in sixth, seventh grade, I finally, you know, decided to fight back and stuff, you know. It's not like I was really pushed around. It just felt like, you know, I was afraid of some guys, you know. And so then this one time, I don't know how, you know, in high school or junior high school, fights always break out and stuff. So somehow I find myself, you know, fighting this guy. And so I don't know what it was, but I still remember to this day how like this energy, this strength suddenly just came out of me, and
you're like Superman.
I fucking hit the shit out of this guy, you know? And he was taller and bigger and everything, you know? And ever since then, people started respecting me, you know?
Isn't that sad that you get respected for like beating somebody up?
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Does as a guy, like, do you always walk around, not like in fear, but I mean, there's any point you can get into a fight. Like, I mean, did you feel that?
When?
Like in school.
Oh, in school.
Yeah. I always
suppose,
feel like as a guy, like, I mean, as a girl, you're never worried about getting into fights, you know?
Right,
but like boys, like, I just feel like they were always fighting and stuff, or, you know, there was
That's
always
true.
The one that was like picked on, or you were the aggressor, but there always seemed to be a fight going on. And either
right.
like if you were, you know, submissive, you still had to like keep yourself out of the fights.
Yeah.
I didn't know if like if you just kind of like always felt.
Yeah.
That way?
You know, I don't even remember,
yeah.
you know? I mean, that's far too far back for me.
Sorry about that.
With her sympathetic eyes.
I'm sorry. <Yeah. laughs> Well, I'm sorry you're so old.
Me too.
No, you're not.
Me
it's really, yeah. You know, my friend just told me, and it's sad because I don't feel old, but when I look in the mirror, and we're not going to talk about how you don't, because you've already, like, backpedaled on that one, saying, well, maybe I don't know what 35 looks like. Anyway, my friend said, oh, our good friend, her friend, whatever, a friend does Botox, like mm-hmm. Botox parties, and said, we can get Botox for 40% off. And I was like, we're in. So
yeah.
we're talking about like for Christmas, like getting it. And
yeah.
I think it might be fun.
How did you get to Botox for me being old?
Well, because old develops wrinkles.
What are you saying?
How do you not see the connection?
No, but I mean, I don't have a lot of wrinkles.
I wasn't talking about you. I bring everything back to me. Don't you know this yet?
No, I know. Because we were talking about me for a second.
Right, and I bring everything
just
back.
Just for a second.
I know, and then I bring it back to me. Hello, wake up. It's the Sherry Show. No. I just, age. We were talking about age. And so
yeah.
then my friend brought up Botox because I'm really like overly concerned with the wrinkles.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have any yet.
See, we're going to. No, I do.
Where?
You're too old to see them.
That was a good one, man. I didn't see that one coming.
Me neither. Sometimes they just come out. Was that the time I was supposed to edit myself?
Maybe one of them. No, it's okay. I'm accustomed to the abuse by
Aww.
Now.
But I told you how hot you were this morning, so
yeah,
I can just go back
thank
and
you.
Forth.
Thank you.
But I feel bipolar today a little bit.
You do?
Yeah, because I wake up and I was kind of bummed about something, and then I've got to get myself out of it, and then I was driving, and then it comes back in my head, and I'm back down, and then I'm back up, and I'm back down. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna go crazy.
Yeah, well, that's terrible to start the day off that way.
Well, yeah, and then you got to figure out why that is. It's men.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened now?
I told myself I wasn't gonna talk about it today.
Okay, then don't.
But there's like part of me that, you know, like wants. I'm just gonna say this about men and women. They have such different thoughts going on in their head about the same situation. They think completely differently, you know?
Right.
And it's so crazy, like, how such miscommunication can happen over a situation like, you know how they always say there's his side, her side, and the truth? It's
right,
so true.
Right, yeah. He said, she said.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny how, like, one little thing, I'm just going to bring up an example. It doesn't mean that it's true.
Okay. we're talking about somebody else now.
Let's talk about sex. Okay, and a man and a woman hanging out and dating, right?
Right.
So I have this friend.
We won't mention her name.
It's a guy.
Oh, it's a guy?
Yeah, and then a girlfriend of mine.
Okay.
And they've gone out quite a few times already. Okay, basically, let's just talk about sex, okay? A man thinks, or this particular, my friend, thinks that because you already know sex is going to be there and it's going to be great, like, why not just do it already? Why are you holding off? Whereas my friend thinks, if sex is always going to be there, what's the rush?
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And
that's a girl saying that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Duh.
Duh. Duh. But my friend, like, the girl, she really thinks, like, what is the rush? Sex is, you know, it's always going to be there. Like,
yeah.
She can have sex with anybody, you know, but it's different
right.
when you're dating somebody because you want to actually get to know them, and sex is like a bonus. Like,
yeah, but
come.
You don't know if you'll be alive tomorrow, you know, you might as well take it now, you know.
You're such a guy. You're such a guy.
No, but why wait if you really want to do it? I mean, then
no,
it's
but
like
I
playing
think
games.
As a woman that you could turn, no, it's not. I think as a woman you could turn it on and off.
Right.
Like, I mean, you could be really attracted to the person, but it doesn't mean that you need to jump in bed.
Right.
And this person feels like there's an elephant in the room because the sex is always there.
Right.
And she's like, I don't see an elephant anywhere. I'm just fine. She's just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, knowing that sex is going to come. So now my friend is feeling pressure that she should have sex just to maybe kind of keep him around. But that's wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think maybe it's her past that she hasn't had men that have stuck around after the sex. So maybe she's, you know, maybe subconsciously is holding that out.
If that's the case, then she probably should hold out for a while.
If
she feels that men, you know, never stayed after she had sex with him.
Right, but is that fair to the guy, though? Because he's not all the other men.
Yeah.
He's his own individual.
Well, fuck about, you know, fear for him. I mean, that's like, you know, he has to go with it if he wants to have sex with
her. Well, I feel like if he really likes her and stuff like that, like, then just fucking chill out and, you know, and let them have fun.
That's true. That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I have to agree.
You know, because there's this other guy that really likes her and would seriously, like, wait his whole entire life to sleep with her. And that's more attractive to her.
Yeah.
Like, I think once you stop pressuring someone about it, like, then it'll make her want to do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, plus, I think as a woman, you want to know that the guy's into you, you know?
Yes.
Right?
Right, but as a man, like, I mean, I honestly don't think that this guy's, like, using her or anything like that. I think he genuinely likes her.
Yeah.
But as the woman, you don't want to feel like that's all that it's about.
Right,
you know what I mean?
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
So, you know, I'm going to tell the guy, my friend's guy.
To go fuck off.
No, that, you know, maybe if, like, one day he doesn't talk about sex, maybe she'll jump his bones.
Yeah. That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
because I think she's pretty sexual as it is anyway, and she probably wants it really badly since she hasn't had it in a while.
Right.
But as soon as, you know, maybe he stops talking about it, you know, she'll, you know, do it.
Right.
But it's just funny. Like, I just find it amusing just how men and women are. Like, the same situation, you know, he's just like, why can't we do it already if we both want to? And she's like, why do we have to?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
And I figured you'd probably agree with the guy.
I do, but I can see the woman's point of view as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
All right, so what should I tell her?
I mean, you know, guys just need to hide the salami and make a deposit. That's pretty much it. We don't want anything else, you know? That's all it is.
Okay, if you do not write that in the blurb of the summary of the show, Sam talks about hiding the salami. And what was the last part?
Make it a deposit.
Making a deposit, I'll kill you. That's fucking awesome. But if there's any guys out there that want to call in and talk about this, and what's your opinion about? And how many dates should you wait? Are 5 or 6 too much to do anything?
Yeah, that's too much.
It is?
That's too much, yeah. Second date, top.
Have sex in the second date?
Yeah.
Are you fucking... Like, okay,
why?
Just
what's
yesterday you were talking about don't give away the milk so soon or whatever in your second date.
Yeah, well, the thing is that if you feel the guy is just going to take that and then leave, then don't do it.
Right.
You know, but if you feel this is someone that you would like to be with, and stuff, then
that
why play the games?
Like to be with.
Yeah.
Right.
She would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? You totally had me fooled for a while.
I still do. And the listeners.
So now let me go back and think about everything we said and apply it to you.
Why would you just say that out loud? I was giving you the big eyeballs.
No, you were not giving me eyeballs. I mean, listeners are not stupid, okay?
You just were for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
But then it occurred to me.
How could it not occur to you?
I know, I'm a sap, man.
You were going to say sap. I was going to say dumbass.
Yeah, dumbass.
No, it's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went and saw last night a screening.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that show, How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
Have you ever watched it?
No.
Oh, me neither. Yeah. Until last night.
I don't watch TV.
That's right. You're a book reader.
Yeah.
You're a bookworm.
But I heard about it, yeah.
Well, it was a screening at the SAG building and stuff and for the new season, I guess. And Allison Hannigan, do you know who she is?
No.
Did you see
Sorry about
That's okay.
That. Yeah.
I forgot you're not pop culture, man.
Yeah.
Did you see American Pie?
Yes.
The redhead in it that I was like,
I don't
one
remember.
Time in band camp? No. Okay. She's the one that's like riding the guy at the end and she's like, who's your bitch? Or no. Okay.
Okay.
Do you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer? No. Okay.
No. Okay,
so listeners,
ahead.
Allison Hannigan was there last night. And
so that was cool for you.
She's in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except, so she comes out and she's known like her character is not very like attractive. She's kind of the goofy. And she came out and she was so pretty.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, wow, I didn't think that was you. But it was the most boring interview ever. And as I'm like watching and like the moderator that's doing the interview, I'm thinking, how does someone like this become like so famous?
Yeah.
You know, and you're so boring.
Yeah.
Like I was just watching and being like, huh, like you really just really have to know the right people in this town.
You do. And you
know?
Have to have, yeah. I mean, you have to have the balls to, to go and get it.
Yeah.
To go out there and get it, you know, because it's not going to come to you. I mean, there's too many people fighting for the same thing.
No, I agree with that, yeah. I mean, I remember, like, when I was first moving out here and, like, reading, you know, the how-to book in Hollywood and make it, and it was, like, people, like, I send cupcakes to my agents and to casting people. I, like, you know, camped out in front of a building, and I was just like, wow, people do crazy things. I'm like, I'm never going to camp out, because then you're, like, the annoying crazy person.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, like, sitting out there, but... I mean, you could send your picture over and over again. I mean, I don't think
that works.
Yeah.
But you got to find the right people, like you said, you know, find a good agent.
Yeah. You know? It was funny. I talked to my dad yesterday, and he hasn't listened to the show yet.
Not yet, huh?
Mm-mm. Well, I haven't sent him the link, and then he got mad at me yesterday. I was like, send me the link. And so I said, okay. And I had to, like, preface it with, well, Aunt Cheryl has been listening to it, and...
Sarah has been listening.
And I said, they don't like the smut, but, you know, the laughs outweigh, as I'm, like, trying to say all this thing. Like, the rest of the family agree that it's okay, so you should, too.
Yeah.
But, of course, all my dad cares about is money. Right. You know, he's Jewish, number one. He's my father and wants me to be, you know, taken care of. And so he's like, so... I keep saying how happy I am, and like, this is the happiest I've been, and I love what I do, and the only thing my friggin' Dr. Goldberg can say is, so do you think this is going to lead to bigger things, Sherry? So do you see any future with this? Like, what do you see? Like, is that, and I'm just like, Dad, so I'm so happy. So,
sounds like a father.
I know.
You know?
Are you going to pay my loan back any quicker? And I was just like, Dad, like, why can't you hear, like, the underlying meaning that it doesn't matter, like, if I do this for the rest of my life, I'm happy.
Yeah,
you know,
as long
what I mean?
As you're happy. They don't understand that.
Yeah.
I don't either as a father.
Because you just want them to be taken
care
of. Yeah,
you want them to, yeah.
I mean, especially for your daughter, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're not getting, well. Yeah. But I mean, like, even like men, like when I talk about like, oh, I'm dating or going out. So what does he do? I'm like, oh, geez, here we go. It's like I can never win.
It's not easy raising daughters, let me tell you, when you're a father.
Yeah, but you would think, though, like I would think as a parent, though, that ultimately you just want their happiness more than anything. You
know? Do, you know, but your self-interests always get in the way, you know?
Yeah.
Because you see it as a reflection on you as well.
Uh-huh. You know? Well, I would be like, wow, I raised a daughter that is so happy and at peace with her life and is, you know, smiling every day.
Right.
Now, you know, he introduces me to someone with money. My dad had money and he was busy, like, you know, fucking some woman on the couch and my mom was sick in her room. By the way, that's all just hearsay.
Yeah. Never happened.
I don't take sides at all.
Yeah.
In case my dad ever listens to this. I don't know. It was just...
But you've always kept in touch with him?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a relationship my whole life.
See, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, when they got divorced when I was two, like the divorce agreement was, the custody is that, like, my dad had us every other weekend.
Yeah.
So every other weekend we would go and stay with him.
Really? Mm-hmm. See, I had my kids a lot more often than that.
Yeah.
And still my daughter's out there somewhere.
But I mean, it didn't mean that, you know, I didn't go through times like where there was frustration towards him. And even now, like, there's certain things that I want to be like, you did this and that and the other thing, but... Yeah. I've come to realize I've gotten older, though, that he's just as imperfect as we all are.
And
you know what I mean? And he tried
his
best.
It's his life, you know?
He tried his best, yeah. You know? But I know at the end of it that he's loved me through it all, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, like, I've gotten things... I mean, he's very much concerned, like, with his image and what he looks like to all his doctor friends and all these things. And as sad as I think that is, at the same time, I've gotten many benefits out of that.
Yeah, I suppose.
I didn't have to work in college because his friends were like, you're making your daughter work in the dining hall? You know, when I was getting married, we had to get the nicest, like, hall and stuff like that because his friends were coming and we had to have, like, lobster for dinner and all this stuff. I was like, I don't even like lobster. It's my wedding. Hello. Luckily, you know, none of this, the wedding didn't happen. But, you know, there's definitely some benefits about my dad's superficiality.
Yeah, there are.
You know, but then, you know, and then it comes down to, like, at this point, you know, how much money are you going to make? Are you making money? Are you, you know, does this guy have money? And I'm just like, it's so strange how you can, I can fall from their tree, but be so different than them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I take parts of them. Like, my dad is where I get my outgoing nature from.
Yeah.
My mom's much more shy and introverted.
Yeah,
you know?
I see. Yeah.
So.
But he wants the best for you, you know? That's
absolutely
why he's asking these things.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't blame him for that. Like, I know that it's genuine concern.
Yeah.
But I guess I just want him to know that. At the end of the day, that's, I mean, it's great, and I want to be secure, too. I don't want to struggle. I hate that feeling, you know?
Yeah.
But I much prefer to, you know, just be happy, you know, and at peace, minus men that I hear about. I don't know. So what's, you don't really like talking about your children, do you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just
no, maybe not.
Do you want to lay down
maybe
on the couch?
No, thank you.
I'm not
I'll
very
be
expensive.
Just fine,
I have the worst blisters on my feet.
Yeah. Let's just say that my 19-year-old daughter is not behaving like a 19-year-old daughter. okay.
Okay, I don't know which way to take that. Which way?
She could be younger. It's not a good way.
Well, no, I know, but she could be behaving like much older.
No, I think
it's, child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More childish. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably mom's influence and stuff.
Yeah. But let's not talk about it.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. I don't want to start
crying here. I brought down that love bugginess.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay. Hugs.
Like you would know how to deal with me if I cried.
I
right?
do. I come sit on your lap. And then you might cry more. Get off me. Ouch.
We got a phone call, Sherry. Okay. Let's see who that is.
Please don't be my dad.
Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hi, Sam. It's Allie.
Hi, Allie. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay. Sherry, this is Allie. She's calling from... Do you want to tell us where you're calling from?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
St. Petersburg. Have you been there, Sherry?
Driven through. I'm actually from Miami.
Is that anywhere near?
No.
No. I didn't think so.
But I mean, when you live in the same state, you take trips and stuff, you know, and I've driven cross country, so I've driven through.
Yeah.
I've never
yeah.
actually done anything in St. Petersburg except drive through it.
Good. Good.
But I know exactly where it is. Good yeah. morning.
Is that where you grew up, Allie?
No, I'm actually from Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, wow. So how'd you end yeah. up in Florida?
I had two baby cousins that were dying, and my cousin called me and asked if I would come help, and so I got stuck here.
Really? How old were you at yeah. that? How old were you at the time?
I was 15.
15.
Just 15.
And they asked, and they called you to come and help. In what way?
Well, they were dying of metachromatic leukodystrophy, which is a rare gene disorder, and I've kind of been on my own since I was 11, and I've always been the backbone and the person that can keep everyone sane. So she called me and figured that that I could handle it, which I did, but it was hard, like anything else in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go a little bit, sort of like start at the beginning and stuff. You were born and raised in Santa Cruz?
Yes.
Okay.
For 11 years.
For 11 years. Now, what happened at the age of... were you with your parents at the time, all these years?
I was with my parents, but I was abused.
Abused.
A lot. So I was kind of grown up before I even had the chance to be a child.
Yeah. You were abused by your parents?
Yes, I was.
Really? What kind? Like physical, mental, sexual?
It was mental, verbal, and physical,
uh-huh.
of course.
Right.
And I was sexually abused behind their back, and when I came and told them, they thought it was a joke, you know, kind of starving for for attention kind of thing. So I just blew that off and let it go.
How
and
old?
It was, sorry. They,
no, go ahead.
It was by both parents. Both parents abused you,
yes.
or one set back and
yes.
Both did.
Okay. No, both of them. Well, it happened when I was 5, and then it happened when I was, like, 10 and 9. And when I went and told them, they're not, you know, great parents, so they thought it was for attention. And it was humiliating enough to go and tell someone and to tell them. They kind of just turned around and made a joke of it and announced it to the world, and I don't know. Very, very harsh. I'm lucky. I'm a very strong-willed person.
Yeah. So. That's the last type of reaction you want to get from them.
Mm-hmm.
When you expect them to protect you?
I don't know. I just wanted someone to care for a change. I mean, I grew up sucking my thumb because that was my mom, you know what I mean? That was the only thing I had to comfort me. So it was the reaction I thought I would get.
Yeah,
so.
I was sexually abused as a child as well, and I can't even imagine like what you went through because, you know, when I went to my family, it was immediate, you know, protection
and
over
support.
Me and want, yeah, and support yeah. and you know, going to the police and wanting to take care of it, so...
But you
I'm
didn't
really
have anybody to turn
that.
To, Allie.
Excuse me?
You didn't have anybody to turn to.
No, never.
So
never.
you had to keep it inside and live with it for a long time.
No, I never allow anyone to take my heart where it doesn't belong, and I kind of take it in the way that... I can go to someone who's been through the same thing, and I can look at them and say, okay, well, you can't tell me I don't understand, and I'll tell you how you can take it and change it. I mean, trust me, I don't mean to sound so blunt, but my sex life is not affected by it whatsoever,
really?
And I refuse to let it be.
Yeah.
And you don't have to hold on to it forever. You can take it and realize that you can start making sure those those SOBs start being punished for it. And you can stop those people, and you can protect those children. And even if you're not their parent, you can do something to protect them. So
right.
I always
it's a shame thing, but it's nothing to hold on to forever.
I always feel that it's really, it's always unfortunate when abuse happens to anybody, but I feel like people like yourself who say what you say, like there's certain reasons why it happens to certain people, and not that anybody ever deserves it, but there's people like yourself who want to fight and go against it, and I think that it happens to strong people, so things can be taken care of and other people can be protected. And I'm glad that you saw that and you see that within yourself to be able to go and do that. So, because there's not many people
true.
That takes courage.
Yeah.
It takes a lot. Well, I eventually saw that I have no one. I said to myself, I was walking down the street on my 18th birthday singing to myself, "You're my sunshine," trying to cheer myself up. And I thought to myself, God, I'm 18 now. And if I'm never wanted as a child, I'll never be wanted as an adult. So I thought, okay, I have to make sure the people like me, the kids like me, everything that I went through, I have to turn around and make sure that they don't have to, that be a part of them forever.
Right.
Like, it has to determine who that person really is. Because, I mean, even statistics show that a lot of children that are abuse children when they get older.
Right.
And if you don't help those people, then it's just going to continue on and on and on and on. So, yeah, I know I'm a strong cookie. I've been through more stuff than you can ever imagine.
Right.
So,
now, what? So you said you lived with your parents till you were 11. What happened at that point?
Well, they were moving to Houston, Texas, because my mother's from Houston, Texas. And they told me I had a choice either to stay in California or go with them. But then they realized they couldn't because they'd get in trouble with the law. So they put me in a car and they took me to Texas. I was living with them for a week while they were staying with a family. And then the next door neighbor, who just had a baby girl, she was 26 years old and she had a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. And, well, she had no one to take care of her kids. And she, well, you know, she was a woman who loved to hang out with men all the time. I'm pretty sure you understand what that means. So I was 11 years old and I took responsibility of a newborn baby until she was a year and a half, and I lived with her.
Wow.
and took care of them. I mean, I went through stuff that should happen only in a third world country, but it happened here in America.
Yeah, like
and
what?
So,
like what, for example?
Okay, I was locked up in a room for 2 years, and I was having kidney failure, and the only thing these people would give to me is a bottle of NyQuil to knock me out. I was 13 and 14 when I went through this. I would be screaming for hours in agonizing pain. I mean, like, just peeing constant blood. It was terrible. And, no one would help me. I went and I told people, and no one would do anything about it. I mean, no offense to any Texans, but I got a ticket because I refused to say yes, ma'am, to my teacher. I'm from California. You know how it is, equal respect.
Right. Yeah.
Wait. So when you say you told people, when you say you told people, are you talking about like, you know, neighbors and friends? Or are you talking about like authorities?
Teachers. I told teachers. I told principals. I had a principal in New Caney, Texas, tell me that she was going to bend me over her knee and whip me with their paddle because it's still allowed, because I need to quit running my mouth.
Wow.
I mean, it's very, yeah. It was very like you're a child and I'm an adult, so that means you're wrong and I'm right kind of thing. And I mean, I'm 21 years old and my breasts don't even look like they belong to a 21-year-old because of the abuse that I went through. I mean, I had my friend's grandpa try to sell me for $20. My father tried to sell me for $12,000 to a Mexican. And thankfully, I was smart enough to run away before that could possibly happen. But I mean, I've been through so much, and I don't trust our country, and I don't trust our local law enforcement, especially the ones here, because I have proof that they're dirty. And I mean, when I say I'm American, I'm not proud to say I'm American, because if people actually knew the truth behind everything and the people that run this country, they would be ashamed of it. And it's a shame that we have people dying for this country every day, and there's kids like me that are dying. There's kids like me that are getting abused, and no one's willing to do anything to help them.
Yeah. This is, well, yeah, I mean, when your parents turn against you, I don't know who else you can turn to, you know? It's very difficult. Let me ask you this. Who are the people that locked you in a room?
They were the friends of family.
Friends of family.
Even my parents knew about it.
So how did you end up with them, though?
What happened was I was in a program at Humble Middle School, and it turned out to be illegal years later because they found out that there was abuse going on, and it was if you acted up, you had to go there. Like, listen to me, I was never a bad kid. It was just because my parents, they told the school that I was a bad kid so they wouldn't look bad because of the abuse. So what happened was I didn't go to school after that, after the summer after that, because my parents thought the abuse got so bad that my parents were like, well, we have to do something so no one catches her. So they moved me into a trailer in Cleveland, Texas, which is the middle of nowhere. I mean, I'm from California. You guys have not seen the middle of boondocks anywhere until you've been to Texas for real. And there was these people that live right down the street from them, and they got to know them, and that's how they worked their thing. So it was that's just what happened. I mean, and I had no choice. I mean, I would pray to God, and I don't know. It's an imprisonment in my memory that I'll always have to live with. You know what I mean? It was terrible. You don't want to talk about agonizing pain? I mean, that was hard.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't. I didn't have no one. I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was just a kid.
Yeah.
What do you think, I'm curious with all the things, like one thing happening after another, like what is the thing that kept you like looking forward and like looking afloat? Because there's a lot of people that, you know, would have taken another route, you know what I mean? And not be where you're at right now.
Oh yeah. Okay. I won't lie to you. I have sat there many a time and said, okay, I am so ready to kill myself. I want to kill myself. I want to die. I mean, I've been through that point so many times in my life. And I remember, I do believe in God. And no one could tell me that there's not a God, because for the things that I have been through, if it was not for God, then I should be dead. I shouldn't be here right now. And I remember, you know, my biggest thing was one day I'm going to find a boy that I'm going to absolutely love, and I'm going to have a baby. That's all I wanted. Was I was holding on to that. Okay, well, I could have a baby. I'm going to have a baby one day. And all this love that I'm saving and holding inside of me, I'm going to get to that baby, and I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to be the person I cried out for my whole life. The people just like me. And I mean, like, even as a young kid, I would watch Disney movies and think, okay, well, I could do that. I can do it. And I could keep going on. And I knew there was always this burning thing in my heart that people just don't understand, this one passion and will inside my soul, that I realized that I was not like everyone else, and that I'm going to leave a footprint on this earth before I go. But I don't know how, and I don't know when, but that was the one thing that kept me going. But there was plenty of times in my life where I was ready to kill myself, but I could not do it, because I realized if I did, then every single one of those people would win. Mm-hmm. They'd win, and I couldn't let them. I realized, someone told me not too long ago, that silence never helped anybody. And that was a breaking point in my life where I said, okay, well, then it had to be worth it.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to find a reason why it's worth it, but it has to be worth it. There has to be some reason why I am still here.
Well, you're already helping other people by talking about it. Like, you don't understand, like, the lives that you change by just speaking out about it. I did this one lecture only with all these young girls that had been through abuse, and I had been invited to talk about it, and I did, and I was unsure, really. And the amount of girls that came up to me afterwards and I didn't even say that much, but like that were influenced by that one little speech, and like their whole lives forward, they told me, we're going to be changed. I mean, and that was just one time. So, I mean, you're put here for a reason. So,
yeah,
you definitely are.
So, Allie, how did you emerge out of all this? I mean, where are you now in your life? What are you doing now? I mean, you're not a minor anymore.
Well, let's see here. I am homeless. I could possibly die at any moment because state of Florida did 4 root canals on me when I was 16 and in their foster care. I wasn't in their foster care system long here. And that was years ago. And when I went back to get them closed up, they said they refused and I'd have to pay $600. So what happened, everyone knows that it's a direct line to your heart and brain, your mouth is. And I had 4 root canals that were open, drilled to the jaw, and the temporary filling saw it, very painful. And from that, the infection dripped down and caused heart damage to my bowel. And it's caused me to be, my health has completely dissolved. I had identity theft in November because the same dentist that refused to close my teeth up when I was underage and in foster care and on Medicaid, they had my information in the computer. And, of course, I got snatched. I was one of the people that got snatched. So I was completely devastated by that. Someone went out and bought a 2001 Chevy Malibu with my name, and I've never owned a car in my life because I've just had to survive since then, and it's been hard because my health has been dissolving. Like, just, it's terrible. I'm 21 years old now, and I feel like I'm 85 some days when I wake up. Some days I wake up and I can't keep going because I'm in so much pain. And I'm on the streets now because I was renting a room from a 48-year-old man, and he was very, very obnoxious and crazy. And I had a 2-year-old 1-pound dog, which is, I'm from California, and you hardly see those over here. What he did was he threw him over the fence to 5 other dogs that was right next door to the house because he wanted to get close to me. I called the police to report because he was sexually assaulting me. I would be in my bedroom and this guy would come in and put his penis on me, of course, and when I was sleeping, and I would get up and sleep on the floor or go sleep on the couch. What happened was, when I called the police, this was in Bradenton, Florida, they came out and it was a woman cop, and she was laughing because she thought it was funny. And I told her what had happened, and this man told everyone that I was his girlfriend. I mean, come on, people. Really, really. I'm 21. He has kids that are older than me. What happened was I told him I can't stay in this house because a few days before that, I called his sister in Georgia and said, you need to get on your brother because I'm 21 years old and I look like I'm 15. That's sick. That's very sick. And he has kids that are older than me, and I will never have sex with him. You will never get me to have sex with him. I would rather die and go to hell than have sex with this disgusting man. And so what happened, she called him, and he sent me a text message to tell me that I need to leave because I'm using him, which was a complete lie because I took care of his whole household and his daughter. If it wasn't for me, 2 of her babies, a year-old baby fell in the pool while she was laying there in the sun, and if it wasn't for me, her kid would have been dead right now. I took care of the whole household. I cooked, I cleaned, I ironed, I worked on top of being sick, and so he told me to leave, and I told him, this guy's violent. He's crazy. I mean, he took a little innocent 1-pound dog, which I'll tell people, I'm not crazy, but that was the only person in the world I ever had unconditional love from, and that was on September 14th this year. And I told the police, I said, I can't stay in this house because he's violent. I do not trust him. And they said, okay, well, see you later. Bye. So what happened was I got a ride back up to St. Pete because I know this area better. I called state helplines. I've called the local newspapers and news channels, and they say they're just going to make the state look bad. They don't want to do that. And so right now I'm just trying to survive. And I'm trying to look for work, and it's real bad here. Of course, everyone knows how this whole world's turning. And I just know that if I don't get my story out there, then I'm going to die another statistic.
Yeah.
And
now,
I don't know.
I mean, have you tried, like, social workers and stuff? I mean, there's got to be somebody out there.
Yes, I have. And let me tell you guys something. If you saw the state of, we took undercover cameras, okay, and we put them in the foster care system here, you would be disgusted at what you see. I mean, I'm talking about all the newborn babies in the foster care system have respiratory problems. Why? Because they don't take care of them. I was in a place called the Receiving Center in Clearwater, Florida when I was 15, okay? And this was a place they dropped you off when they could not find you a placement. So I bounced every single night. I saw a newborn baby in there laying in a poopy diaper for hours. I went in there to change the baby because I was like, oh, heck no. You people have to be out of your mind. This is a brand new person. You can't scar this kid already. You know what I mean? So I go in and go to change the baby's diaper, and it's like, oh, no, you can't do that. And I said, what do you mean I can't change a baby's diaper, for God's sakes? And she told me because the teenagers molest the younger children. What? No, it's the caseworkers. It's the people that work for the state. It's the foster parents. I was like, are you crazy? Like, so it was a newborn baby laying in a poopy diapers for hours. There was fecal matter all over the bathroom floors in this place. My case manager lied on document and in the court. I had to tell this lady, because she cussed me out every time she saw me, that you're the adult and I'm the child. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to argue with you because you look bad. And that made her even more mad. I mean, I have called state helplines. I have called to get help, and they tell me, oh, well, you don't have a kid, and the only way you're going to get any medical help is if you get pregnant. And you guys, you want to hear the saddest thing is I can't have kids because of my teeth being exposed. It has caused me to make me sterile. Uh-huh. And that's another thing they refuse to help me with. They won't do it. I have thousands of dollars of medical bills. Right. Because this is all pertaining to the teeth being open and my health dissolving from this. And I'm, for even the teeth, I'm 16, underage, in the state's care, and I'm getting the bills from this dentist office that never closed these teeth up.
Right.
Ever.
Do you think you might find a dentist that will actually do it for you, maybe at a reduced rate or even for free?
I had a dentist pull out two of the teeth, and I paid for that. And it was the lowest dentist I could find to pay for that was $100 per tooth.
Yeah. I think if your story keeps getting out there, people are going to want to help her.
Yeah.
I know help's going to come from everywhere, like if your story gets out there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, and you've got, quite a story here. I mean, you know, you can probably fill a couple of books with everything you've been through. And I know we haven't even scratched the surface yet. Now, so how can somebody help? I mean, do you want to give us an email address or something that people can contact you?
Of course. Any kind of help would help, of course. Any kind of help, because I'm 21 years old and I still have not even had a chance to start life yet.
Right.
My email address is aliorotpeza@yahoo.com.
Okay.
So that's aliorotpeza@yahoo.com.
Great. And we'll put a link also on our website for you. And, we've got to wish you all the best. I don't know, Sherry. Give her a sharing with Sherry moment here.
I there's nothing you can say to someone that's gone through this except, honestly, what you're doing, I really think, like, continue doing it. I mean, you need to get the word out there. You need to put out there what people are doing. I don't think the whole world is like that, but I can't speak from your experience. I mean, there's definitely awful people out there, but I know that there's also just as many good people that are going to be helping you. I know it. So I think, like I said before, you're so brave, like, because there's many people that would have killed themselves and gone down the opposite road, and you're still trying to fight. And I say keep your head up. Honestly, like, I promise, and I mean it, in whatever way it comes, that it will work out, and I know you're going to get your voice out there, and I know people are going to help you. So stay strong and continue helping other people like you are.
Yeah. And
I have to say, I'm feeding the homeless tonight, you guys, believe it or not. I had $5, and I found a bag of beans because I'm feeding them tonight because I'm not stopping.
That's,
I refuse to be like those people.
See? And that's a human spirit. So, like, I really believe that. They always say, like, when you feel discouraged, encourage, and it always comes back to you. So continue doing that. I wish, like, I had money.
And you've got to surround yourself with good people.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's time you started seeing that some people are really warm and caring and compassionate. You know, it's just, you got to find the right people.
See, Sam, that's huge.
Well, everyone's
like that.
Been saying that to me, and y'all, I've been trying for years and years. And even though people that seem nice, even the church people or anything like that, it always turns around. You know, they try to take my kindness for weakness, and I'm really not a weak person. They have no idea who they're talking to.
Right.
But as soon as you realize that those are those particular people and you truly believe in your heart, I promise, like, good people will come into your life. Like, you, I mean, you said, you know, the whole world is bad and there's all these awful people. You're absolutely right, but there's just as many good people. And as soon as you start seeing that, they'll start coming into your life. I promise you that.
Yeah.
They really will.
And, you know, if you're spiritual and stuff, then you realize that I think the reason your life has been that difficult is sort of like a, you know, a lesson maybe for you to learn to survive on your own.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I have survived on my own for a very long time. Right. It's just that I want to live for once. I want to be my age and know what it's like to be my age. I need to know what it's like to be young. I have no clue. I've been a grown-up forever, and and it's just, it's old because I look at people my age and I sit there, and it's not like I'm jealous, but I look at myself and I'm like, God, I'm just something to mock in those people's eyes because they have not one clue what it's like to be 3 years old and being told that you're an ass and idiot because you're crying. These people have no idea what it's like. So.
Yeah.
No, but you have an incredible story, and there is a reason why you're here, and as soon as you start, I mean, I know that you see that, but it'll all turn around for you. I know it will. I see it all the time. Just share your story and honestly keep looking forward and look for the good people that will help you because they are out there. They really are.
Oh, I'm looking. And then thank you. I have to thank you guys so much because for you guys to actually listen to me and say, okay, well, this person actually has a right to speak and think and feel, then I mean, you have no idea because I have sat in front of people that could help me and begged them and pleaded with them just to help me a little bit. And they want it. They always, it always was. I mean, one day I'm going to have my own home, and I'm not going to have to sleep with anyone. I mean, because I always got kicked out of houses when I was a kid because I refused to sleep with someone or have oral sex with them. And I always said I'd rather die on the streets with pride than stand up for injustice. And you guys, I'm standing up for what's right. And I mean, one person may not change this world, but I can change one person's world at a time. So that's what I'm trying to do. And for everyone who has listening, you have to remember, never allow anyone to take your heart where it doesn't belong, because you'll become that person. So, I mean, I appreciate you guys so much for doing this. You have no idea. And it's about time my voice gets heard, because you're right, I'm here for a reason, and I'm not like everyone else, because I'm gonna make a difference some way, somehow.
Well, I can tell you
and
this
I'll be
much.
Happy.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this much. Being here already, you're already turning the direction of your life. We talk about, like, good people being on our show. Not that I'm saying we're good people, but, I mean, you already are moving in that direction, and it's just going to start here and continue.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to get you on other shows as well on the station and stuff. So, you know, the more people hear your story, I think, you know, the better it is for everyone. And, you know, I think what's amazing about you is you're suffering all the time, and yet you still are thinking of other people, you know, and helping other people. And so you've got a good soul, probably an old soul as well, you know, and that's why I think you're going through these difficulties and so forth. But you got to hang in there, you know, and I think that's the human spirit, the desire to survive and to stay alive, and that's what's going to keep you going, you know. And, you know, and
we'll be praying for you, too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And feel free to call us anytime, okay? Where are your friends?
All right. Well, thank you. And I appreciate that. And for anyone who's listening, I am the poorest person that you'll know. I do not have a penny to my name. But you know what? To give gives more than anything you could imagine. And that's the reason why I am that way, is because I know what these people are going through. I can feel their agony and their spirit. When I walk next to a stranger, I can feel their pain. Trust me. So, I mean, I can't sit back and go through all this, and I can't just be like everyone, rich people and all those snobby people and live just for myself, because then I'll become the people that I've always wanted to run away from.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And this is the reason why
you're
here.
All right, well, you guys are awesome.
Okay,
so awesome,
Allie. So we're going to put a link to your email, and anybody that wants to help, you know, in any possible
in any
way.
Even encouragement, anything that you can help Allie
anything,
with.
Anything, you know, and Allie is our guest for today. Allie, I mean, my heart is just broken. You know, I don't know what to say. And it's just a very, very difficult story to take, I think. But I salute you for this, for wanting to speak out and everything. And like I said, anytime you need to speak out, just contact me and we'll have you on.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And you guys are miles and miles away from me, but you have no idea. I'm there with you, giving you a hug. Thank you
so
much.
Same back to you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Allie.
Take care.
Keep your head up.
All right. I will. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Whew.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Maybe we should take a break.
Yeah. I know. You seem like you were on the verge of tears for a while there, huh?
Yeah. Because
You could relate them anyways?
Well, yeah, and then I also hear people saying in my head, see, Sherry, the world is not so nice. See, Sherry, it's not all these things, but there's so much more to it, and, like, she has so much to share with the world, and I know that she is. Like, it's one of those things that I just, like, feel.
Yeah.
Like, that her, because there are bad things that happen, and I'm not, like, unaware of it,
yeah.
But there's people like her that will make a difference and make all those things,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
God, man, I can't handle those things, these stories.
I know.
It's too much.
What about
man.
You and you and
it's
your
too much.
Not being able to handle emotional women?
Yeah.
It's difficult.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
your phone calls. Dial 323-203-0815 to get on the air. Now, once again, here are your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Okay. Should we just go home? I mean, how do you laugh after a story like this, man?
I know, although I'm giggling. I know, I'm trying to, like, I don't want to, like, let it go because it's too important to let go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I really don't know what to do with myself because I'm going from coffee to rock star to water. And I'm feeling like I'm going to bounce off the walls at any second.
You feel a little shaky?
I don't know what I feel. As I'm looking at your worse, eye, my eyes are like bulging out of my head.
Yeah. I mean, this is crack that you drink in there, you know? I mean,
oh, the crack would probably be better than what I'm feeling. Yeah. I'm going to jump across the table and like dance on top of it and then at the same time sleep. Up, down, up, down.
You're crazy.
I know.
You're crazy. That's too much.
Oh, man. That
and
was pretty
And they make
heavy.
Those energy drinks like really big cans too. You
know I know. It's
that?
Double strength, double size. Just the way I like them.
There's no hope for
I
you.
I like man. How you go, how do we go from that to laughing? And here we are.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
I know. Well, that's the only way you'd like to. Yeah.
But we'll take care of it, and we'll have a link to Allie's email.
Yeah.
So you guys can contact her and stuff.
I feel like, seriously, like, if she contacts shows like Oprah, like, I mean, Oprah runs stuff like this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially if she has, like, backstories about all these agencies and everything. Like, I know people will be willing to hear it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to say to her, because when you're in that moment, it's like, you don't want to, it's not her fault.
Right.
Like, at all. You know, yeah. You don't want to blame somebody. But I really wanted, the main thing I wanted to get across to her is, like, it's what I talk about all the time, you know, and you brought it up, actually, about, you know, not that she's inviting that in her life, you don't, but I mean, as soon as she starts seeing that people can help her, those people will start showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in her life, like, she's just seeing the whole entire world, which I understand why she sees that. It's happened to her.
Yeah.
But as soon as she changes that and starts seeing that there will be people to help, they just start coming out of the woodwork. They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really feel like she's on that, you know, like,
yeah,
now she's ready to speak out and talk about it, and help's going to come from everywhere.
Yeah.
I know it.
You know, just imagine, I mean, you know, the women that come out with stories about abuse, imagine all the ones that don't come out
right,
with it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just you know, I mean, it's scary as hell.
Yeah.
You know, to hear how many women have to go through that.
And, you know, yeah, and they're all silent about it. I mean, when I went and spoke, it was at this Maybelline, like, event for girls, and I knew nothing about it. I was waiting tables at my other restaurant, and this woman was just, like, a customer, and we started talking, and we just started talking. She said how happy I was. Like, I was smiling, and I just said one line about my perception of life, and she was like, wow, that's beautiful, and we just started talking, and out of nowhere, she gives me her card and she says, I'm doing this event next weekend for girls. Da, 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 I'd like you to come speak. And I'm like, about what? And she said, everything you just told me. She said, I'd like
really?
For you to do that. And I was like, okay. And she said, these are for girls that have been abused and foster homes, all this kind of stuff. And so I went and did it the next week. I wrote this thing. And honestly, like, first of all, half these girls haven't even been hugged before or touched. And
wow.
I'm such, like, a corny person that before I even started, I wanted everyone to hug each other. And
yeah,
immediately, like, they all lined up, like, in front of me and just gave me hugs, and everybody was crying before we even started.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they came up to me afterwards. There was a few girls, and one of them just particularly said, you know what? She said, after everything that's happened to me, and she didn't tell me, she said, I didn't think that there was any hope,
mm-hmm,
you know, for my future. And she said, and after listening to you, and she said, and seeing you smile, she was like, I know there is now.
Wow.
And it was in that moment that I knew everything that I had gone through, just for that one moment and that one girl, that it was all worth it. Like,
yeah,
that my abuse and the things that I went through all happen so I can help somebody else.
Mm.
Just that one person, you
yeah
know, and that's where I feel like that's why it happens to certain people, you
right
know?
Yeah.
And I feel Allie, I think she's going to reach a lot of people. I
yeah
really do.
I really you know hope so.
Yeah.
I, really
I think
so.
Even if it's just one.
Yeah.
Even if it's the one person, like, because we all think about, I get upset over a boy,
mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? And
yeah
then you realize how insignificant your problems are,
right,
and then you can see someone that has to deal with all that she dealt with, and she's still going strong, you know, even though she's discouraged and everything, she still
yeah
has her head up and she's still trying to make it. I mean,
just imagine being homeless though and hungry and all that.
That's what
know
I'm saying. Like, she
she's
doesn't know where she's gonna
old
sleep at night,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Her health is failing. She was locked in a room. Like,
yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean? There's is one thing after another, and we're like, oh, you know, I don't have enough money to go out to dinner, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or, oh, this
right
boy wants to have sex.
It makes it all insignificant.
Yeah, that's
huh
what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
and we forget sometimes and how insignificant our problems are, you know?
Okay.
And then, so.
Well, sounds like it's time for sharing with Sherry.
Oh.
No? I mean, the perfect
well,
time.
Well, we did miss it yesterday.
We're already down.
What are you trying to say?
Do we
My
need
moments are uplifting.
Yeah, we need some upliftment
well,
here.
Blast the song.
You're dancing with your fingers.
I love that song. And this crack. Okay, so strangely enough, sharing with Sherry today is... Okay, I just yelled in my own ear. I'm going to try to keep my mind focused, okay?
Okay.
So if I go off track, bring me back.
Yeah.
Okay, so today's quote, I have one quote, and it's going to be crazy because it's kind of what we're talking about. And then I'm going to go off into it. So... There has never been, nor will there ever be, a life free from problems. It's not the presence of problems, but how we tackle them that determines the quality of our lives.
Mm, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And you always say, even though you don't remember saying it to me, you always say, God, your life must be so difficult. Because, you know, that I have to talk myself into things. And I've had people say, well, how do you get to where you are? You know, it seems like there's so many steps involved to try to become a positive person.
Right.
And there are steps, but there's one basis of foundation. And for me, and the way everything else in life becomes so much easier, is having faith.
Right.
And whether the faith is through God, whether the faith is in yourself, whether the faith is in, you know, some universe, whatever it is, it's knowing that everything that happens to you, that it's going to turn out okay.
Yeah.
And everything is in your life for a particular reason. And as soon as you can start seeing that and have faith in that, honestly, like everything that comes along doesn't seem as difficult.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's not so much what happens to you as how you react to it
right.
and how you perceive it. Right.
Right? Correct.
And so this reminds me of a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Okay.
Now, this was a psychiatrist that was in the concentration camps, in the death camps in Poland. And, you know, he writes the book and he says how he would see people just jumping on the electrical electric fence to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And some people didn't. You know, and he started asking himself, how come some people do and some don't? You know, some people see hope and some lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that it's really about not what is happening to you, but how you view it.
Your perception.
You know?
Of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, if so there's a lot of different ways you can look at things and, you know, to give you hope.
Right.
To help you keep going.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I mean, that's why they always say, like, some people say, see beauty and other people see, like, such negativity, but everybody's living in the same world.
Right.
How is it that, you know, some people see? And it's a choice that you make. And I remember I was hiking because I told you that's where, like, I get all my revelations. And God spoke to me. It's weird. God speaks to us in different ways, I think, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I don't like saying God because some people are turned off by that.
Right.
But I feel like
especially
we all...
God talked to me. Sounds like a wacko.
Well, that's because I have a soulmate that talks to me too, an invisible one. People already don't take me seriously.
I know, like a whole cast of characters in your life.
They're all invisible. My invisible boyfriend that abuses me. Did I tell you that?
No.
I had this great SNL skit in my head that... because I talked about before not having a boyfriend, and I said, well, I'll just have an invisible boyfriend. And then I started thinking about how, in my knowing my luck, my invisible boyfriend like will cheat on me
right.
and be abusive to me and everything.
With an invisible woman, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, so when I was having my conversation with a higher being,
with God. Sounds like a book.
Well, I think it does. God right. communicates with people in different ways and ways that they understand. And God communicated with me a particular day out of nowhere as an actress.
I see.
And he said...
God was an actress?
No,
or
I was. But
oh,
he communicated to me like an actress.
Okay.
He spoke to me in terms that I understood. He said to me, and this was however God speaks to you. He said to me, Sherry, imagine that your life is a script. He was like, or a play. And he said, you already know the ending to it. Like, you already know what's going to happen. So are you going to stress and freak out about everything that happens, like, on each page and each act when you already know the ending to it?
Right.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
and that's kind of... And I finally, like, it just made sense to me that it was just like, there's all things that happen along your life to end up at a certain place, but at the end, you're always okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, all the things that come along, don't look at them as problems. Look at them as opportunities. Opportunities to learn about yourself. Opportunities to help other people. I mean, I feel like so much of the things that happen to us, we are it's funny how, like, when you just ignore things, there's little things that pop up and you choose to ignore it, and then the problem gets worse and worse, so you're finally, like, slapped in the face. Yeah. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, uh-huh. Whatever. But it brings up certain things within yourself to test your character, you know, and to see the things that you're made of. And I think that once you start listening a little closer, you don't need to go to those extremes and have really bad things happen to you, you know, and when you notice them up front and just change.
Yeah.
So
I agree with the point of the script. I've always looked at, not always, okay, but since I went through a spiritual awakening and stuff, I realized that your life is like a movie, okay? And you have a script, and everybody else in your movie, you know, that you meet, yeah, it's like, you know, the supporting cast, and they have their own scripts, you know, so you can't sit there and get mad because they're doing something, you know, because that's them, that's what they're supposed to do,
right,
you know,
right.
And so rather than getting mad and stuff, just think how you can change your script, because that's the only one you can change,
exactly,
you know, but the entire script for the movie, you cannot change that, you know, you're not the director.
Yeah, I mean, you can take different paths to get to the same ending. You can choose, like, a more difficult path. You can choose an easier path. You know what I mean? But it all leads to the same place, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's see who's calling us. Maybe they have something to chime in with. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
It's Becky.
Good morning, Becky.
Good morning, Becky. Becky's who you're going to meet on Monday.
Yeah. Becky's the one that I asked to call you and surprise you this morning, and she did. Thank you, Becky.
Hi. You're welcome. No, I really needed it today, honestly. Like, I was not having a good day, and then I was getting ready to just, like, leave work and go home, you know, and so I'm like, well, I'll just stop by and check Facebook, you know? Before I go, you know, I'll put my bad day on hold and check my Facebook. So, and then there was a message to call Sherry, and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, that would kind of make me feel better. So,
aww.
Here I am.
Hi, Becky.
Hi.
Hi, I'm so excited to see you in 2 days. I was going to write on your Facebook, we're going to see each other in 2 days. It's been 20 years almost.
Really? That's a long time.
Well, 1991 is when she graduated, and so that was, like, the last time we saw each other.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And where do you live now, Becky?
I live in Sebring, which is, like, in Central Florida.
Oh, I see. Okay.
More Floridians.
Yeah. More Floridians, yeah. We're attacked by them today. So you went to school with Sherry?
I did, yeah. We were in high school together.
Mm-hmm.
We were the drama
down
nerds.
In Miami.
Yeah. So have you been luckier with men?
Thanks, Sam. Thank you.
I don't think anyone's been luckier than Sherry.
Wait a second. It depends on what you consider lucky.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is true.
So what are the men in Florida like? I mean, are you finding them to be pretty pretty acceptable to you?
What does that mean? Pretty
men
acceptable.
Men in Florida... I don't know. See, the thing is, like, this is something that I've been thinking about lately. Like, I think the more expectations you put on other people, the worse it will turn out for you.
Yes, because no one could ever meet your expectations.
So, I don't know. I'm, like, transitioning right now from all of that to, like, okay, now I'm going to do it right, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess the answer to your question would be no.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad all the women are all in the same place? Men are dicks. No, I'm just kidding. That's what Heather said yesterday. Becky, did you listen to the show yesterday? Did you get a chance to or no?
No, I didn't listen to it yesterday.
Heather,
Monday.
No. Oh, okay. No, because Heather called in yesterday. Heather, for people who didn't listen yesterday, Heather, Becky, and I were all best friends in high school.
Right.
So Heather called in yesterday and Sam asked her about the men out here, and she goes, they're dicks.
It's so weird. Like, after all this time, we're all still right on the same page. You know what I mean?
Time for some lesbian action.
There you go. So we've had all your good friends calling. I think you're trying to get them to impeach me. So she's getting all the friends on her side.
Impeach, whatever. You invited her. I think you just want to sleep with all my friends.
Fuck, man. She can figure me out every time. Oh, man. So you
I think maybe, like, he's found fertile ground with you, Sherry, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, this girl comes from some really messed up shit. So, you know.
Thanks, Becky. First of all, don't ever put Sherry and fertile in the same sentence. Okay, that's number one rule. That's the number one rule. What were you going to ask her?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so you coming into town, what, Friday?
Yeah, Friday evening, I'll be there. Uh-huh.
That's
what do
awesome.
You have planned?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Are you hot?
You asked Heather the same question. What's wrong with you? Of course I have hot friends. Duh. He said yesterday, he was like, I said, is it okay if they both come in on Monday? And he was like, three vaginas in the room? Of yeah. course.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. I'm if you're hot, I'm free this weekend. I can take you around town.
Your wife better not be listening to the show right now.
My wife knows what an asshole I am already.
Okay,
you don't
fair, enough.
To
fair enough. Becky said, don't
it
expect.
It would be like a very limited engagement, you know. Like, sorry.
That's all men are really good for these days, anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Limited time. she said, don't expect for Heather and I to sleep this weekend. And Heather and I are talking, and we're like, she does not realize how old we've gotten.
No, I know, but I'm the same way, though. Like, you know, I've been going back to Miami and visiting some of our friends there, too. And it's like here at home, it's like I'm a CPA, I'm a mother, and it's like, you know, I'm in bed by 9 every night or whatever. But no, when I go down to Miami, it's like I feel like a kid again, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I don't sleep. We go out partying all night and everything. And I have no idea where all that energy comes from. So.
Well, that's what I told Heather, because she was like, Becky sure is going to be surprised when we are sleeping by 9 o'clock. And I said, I bet that when she comes to the town, like it's going to be like old times again, you know.
Yeah.
And we're gonna not want to sleep at all.
Yeah. So, you'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I still can't believe this woman on the phone is a mother. It's crazy to me.
Oh, so you are a mother, huh? Are you married, too?
No.
Oh, okay. So you're a mother, but not married. Okay, so you're still eligible, then. You're still available.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look at that. Absolutely.
Wow, was that a little too enthusiastic?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Becky, is it hard to meet men when you have a child?
No, I don't think so.
She just doesn't talk about her.
It's like, well, I guess maybe it's like an endorsement, like, okay, somebody else fell for her crap, so, you know, she must have something going for her. No.
Someone else is willing to have a child with her. She can't be that bad.
Yeah. Either that or, yeah, I don't want to take that baggage with me.
You know, I mean, you know, there's some people that don't want to be involved with you if you've got kids, but, I mean,
you don't want to be with those people anyway.
I don't expect to please everyone.
Right, right.
You know? But no, I haven't had any problems with it. You know, I have dated some people and, you know, had really good relationships with people, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you can tell us all about it here on Monday, although Sherry never told me you'd be here on Monday.
Yes, but I did listen to the show yesterday.
Yeah, but I mean, we got to do it behind the scenes, you know? Like, Sam,
you know
we got to have a guest on Monday.
I thought about writing you that last night going, don't forget, Monday we have these two people, and then I was like, he'll remember, and now, what is wrong with you?
Okay, well, fine then.
We have
so we're going to have two people Monday.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
It's going to be a little threesome.
Yeah.
Yay. So I will see you Friday night, Miss Becky.
Okay,
yay.
So excited.
That's awesome. Are you coming with your daughter? No.
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 Sherry's like, no.
I don't do children.
No.
I'll meet her the next time.
Exactly. Yep.
Have a better day. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Becky.
You really didn't remember?
What?
That they were coming in on Monday.
No. I'm so terrible.
You know what's really bad
but
about...
But you know, if you wrote me an email and said that they're coming, I would put it down on the schedule.
Right. You know what's really bad, though, is that we talk about it in person, and then you go and listen to the replay to write the summary. So you've now done the show twice,
right.
And you still don't remember.
Remember.
I mean, am I supposed to tattoo it on you? I don't understand. You need a secretary to take notes, your minutes.
Yeah.
Of the show.
I guess
so. Okay,
I do,
so let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Later today, do I need to email you this about Monday, or are we going to remember this?
I guess now I'll remember.
Does everyone hear that? Because if I get in trouble for this, for double booking, so then we'll have like six people in the studio on Monday.
Yeah, we might as well. What the hell?
It'll be a party.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, right. So we're good then.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay. You ready for another break? And then have a positive news story ready for us.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Jump through the window.
Why?
because of this drink. I think I can fly.
Really? Wow. Would you stop drinking the damn thing?
No.
Drink the water instead.
Oh, boring. Speaking of jumping through a window. Well, no, not that part. Speaking of flying, if you could have any invisible, I mean, not invisible, if you could have any, like, superhero power, what would
definitely,
you have?
Definitely. Flying? Flying. Yeah.
Okay.
I dream about flying all the
Me
time.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
All the time.
Really?
All the time. But I always go in between, like, do I want to be invisible or do I want to fly?
Yeah. Invisible is cool, too.
Yeah, but then I think you'd hear things you maybe not want to hear.
Yeah,
you know, or see things you don't want to see.
Yeah.
So I think flying is just easier.
Yeah. I'd love to think to see things I can't see.
I know exactly where you're going with that, too.
That's the fantasy. In fact, I remember when I was a kid, there was a series of books on this boy that would become invisible. And so I'm reading this, and I'm going, yeah, I could go into locker rooms and shit.
I knew it. Dirty boy. I love it.
At a young age, too.
I love sexual men, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I played doctor at an early age.
Yeah, I did, too, but with a girl.
With a girl?
Uh-huh.
No, I was the doctor of the neighborhood there.
You're such a Jew. You're like an overachiever. He's like, not only am I going to be a doctor, but I'm going to be the doctor of everybody.
Exactly. Let me examine you, you know. And I talked to all of them. I don't know how.
Were you like the funny kid? Like, did you have a humor or were you like a good looking kid? Or like, how would you describe yourself
as a child?
No,
I don't remember myself. I hated the way I looked when I was
really?
A kid. Yeah.
Does and your son also, look like you? Because I've seen pictures of your son.
He does.
And I saw him.
Yeah.
I mean, like how you did like. When you were younger?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, he looks different. But yeah, it's different times now and everything.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I mean, I was very young.
How young? When did you start
playing
doctor?
Like 4 or 5 years old, you know?
But do you think, like, at that age, are you thinking sexually? I don't think so. You're just trying to discover
stuff.
Well,
I just knew I liked pussy. I know you don't like the word, but...
I know, and she said it so much yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's so weird because I'm so open sexually, but I just hate that word unless, like, you know, we're getting it on, and then I can use it.
I see.
But every time, like, she said it or anyone says it, I cringe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I won't say it anymore.
It's okay.
Say vagina.
Your vajayjay.
Vagine.
My vagine. Is that how you say it in French, vagine?
No, that's how Borat said.
Okay. You are Borat.
Fuck you.
I don't know the difference between countries. Everything Middle Eastern is all the same to me.
He's not Middle Eastern. He was from Kazakhstan, which
well,
is...
Where's that?
That's a former Soviet Union, you know. All
oh,
those
Russian,
little,
okay.
Yeah, all those small countries
gotcha.
And stuff. Yeah.
It's all Middle Eastern. You know what you should bring me? You should bring me like a map of
yeah.
the world and
yeah.
like we can just show
Teach
me where
some
things
geography,
are.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I mean I look at it and I don't know where anything is. I mean I know the continents. Like
yeah.
if you gave me a continent I would be able to name which one it is.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I might not be able to name the countries in it.
I don't need to teach you that, man.
No, but I want to know
gonna,
more.
You're going to come across as ignorant if people
no,
ask you.
No, you're ignorant if you have no desire to learn.
I see. Okay.
I just made that
so
up.
So you do. You know where Italy is on the map,
of
right?
Of course.
Yeah, the boot, right?
It's the boot.
Everybody knows
I want to live there.
Yeah.
I know
so
where that is.
So that's why I figured.
Yeah, I know where that is and where New York. And I'm so excited. I'm going to New York.
You are, huh?
I booked my ticket yesterday.
Wow.
I've not been in 4 years. And
I hate you for going there, man. I would love to go.
Come.
Yeah,
on
of
my
course.
Face. Sorry. No.
Anytime, just name the place.
Oh my god, what's that? This will be like my guard.
Yeah, I'd be hide behind the pop screen.
It's like a game in the arcade. I'm trying to like. Okay, anyway.
No, but I would love to come to New York. It would be awesome.
Oh,
you know?
You don't understand though. I've been saying for 4 years now that when I go to New York, I want to go between Halloween and Thanksgiving. It's my favorite time.
Mm.
And the fact that it's actually happening.
Yeah.
I manifested it.
Wow, you did, didn't you?
I'm beyond excited and. I mean, because ultimately I want to live there again, but
right.
I want to live there, you know, when I can live there properly with money and stuff.
Right.
And it's just so exciting to get back
there.
So you
still have family there too?
Just my grandmother, but she's in a nursing home. And so
where are you going to stay?
At my friend John's house.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my friend Natalie, well, I'm busy with names here. My friend who's a travel agent is actually the one who got me the ticket. Like, she got it for me last year.
Right.
And I had to cancel because my car broke down and I didn't have money. And so it's been good for like a year.
Right.
And so now I'm able
to
go.
Yeah, take advantage of it. What
yeah,
the hell,
well, it's about to expire. So I was like, and I'm like, how am I going to make the money? I'm like, oh, I'll just make it. It'll happen. And so I'm just, and then I'm going to have a roommate again. Remember, like, this past month, like, my roommate asked if we can have another roommate for the month. And so she just said, hey, what about for the month of November? And since they're there at different times, it's not like I have two roommates, so I'm saving money again. So that little money that I'm going to save, New York.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Well, you'll have a blast.
Oh, I can't wait to take pictures. But now I need clothes.
Yeah.
It's really cold there.
It really is, huh?
Yeah.
Already.
Fall weather. Oh, I'm getting a stomach ache.
Looking at her drink.
No, I really am. I mean, it's just like this pit in my stomach. It's like acid eating up like my organs.
Because it's carbon. Did you have anything to eat yet?
No, I don't eat in the morning.
Yeah,
coffee's
I don't either.
My first thing.
But that's why. You're drinking carbonated drink.
Well, I have four shots of espresso and now I'm drinking.
Yeah. But that's why people drink juice in the morning. So it's not carbonated.
Too much sugar. Sugar makes me a little ill.
Yeah.
Like too much at one time, like too many grams of sugar, so I stay below like.
Like you think this doesn't have sugar in it?
No, it's zero carb.
Carb, but not sugar.
No carbs. Yes. No, I promise you. The sugar is zero. That's why I buy it.
How can that be? I mean, isn't it supposed to give you energy from the sugar as well as the caffeine?
No, it gives you from all the fake stuff.
Yeah.
Yerba mate, which by the way, one time I said. Oh, I was telling someone what was in my drink. I was like, there's yerba mate. There's. And they just started dying laughing. I'm like, what? And they're like, it's yerba mate or whatever the hell it is. But yerba mate.
Yeah, like I would know, right?
No, I
would have said it the same way.
Okay, good. There's taurine and caffeine. There's 1,000 milligrams of taurine in here, which I think is the big, you know.
Really?
I don't really know what I'm talking about.
You're going to crash after this, I'm telling you.
Well, I have to work later. Today's my day off, and I picked up a shift.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're
gonna collapse once this thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. No. I'm probably gonna run quite a few errands after here, and then right when it's time to go to work, I'll be like, I don't want to go to work.
Yeah. Let me go to sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
any positive stories today? I mean, did you take the time?
Okay. Stop sucking my lips. Well, yes. They're not like, you know, these big hero stories, but I think that they're, you know, things that are not negative is what I found.
Yeah.
Well, they're finding out that donation of blood is now happening more between the age of 15 and 24-year-olds than ever before. So it means that young people are becoming more aware and trying to help other people out.
Right. But would you want their blood for crying out loud? They're all on drugs.
Wow, that's positive.
And drinkers.
I'm just saying they're not as selfish as they used to be, but they're also finding out that people that are giving more blood are people that speak English and are educated, which means that that there needs to be more education, because the more educated people are realizing actually what donating blood does, you know, for you know, for the world and the community. I just think it's really cool, because usually at that young age, people are only thinking about themselves.
Right, they don't really care.
Right, and it's always been, but now they're finding more than ever that it's younger people that are giving donations, which means that as they get older, they're going to continue being better people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever given blood?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't.
I went, well, the first time I went,
because
they told
I
me I couldn't.
Because I would pass out.
I actually like needles.
Yeah.
Like when I go and
you
get
like
my
needles.
Well, I mean, not like I crave them.
Right.
Like, please poke
you
me.
Like a little pain.
When they take blood, there's no comment on that one. When they take blood for me, I always watch them put the needle in my arm. I don't know why.
Really?
And sometimes I don't mind when they can't find the vein.
Yeah, you see, I can't watch that.
I don't know why, but I've always enjoyed being in the hospital, too.
Really?
Yeah, well, the nurses are such...
They're fucking weird.
They take such... Well, I like being put under anesthesia. I've been put under so many times.
Really?
And it's always like that last... I think it's the drugs.
Yeah, I think
Let's just be real. It's the drugs. They give you the best drugs when you're in the hospital, and then you're, like, talking to the nurse, and the next thing you're like, bye. Going up, bye. But, and then there's another story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if this is positive, but did you hear about in Israel and Jerusalem, the new cars that are being made now?
No.
There is a motion eye thing in the car now, and it's now going to be, it's available on Cadillac, BMWs, and I think Volvos for $1,000 that it detects anybody that's in a pedestrian, like if there's pedestrians in front of you or you're too close to a car.
Right.
It notices like all the lanes and like where exactly you should be. And basically, like if you're about to hit a car or somebody, it beeps at you. It like detects that you're too close to someone if you're not paying attention. And if you don't slow down in enough time, like, it automatically slows your car down.
Yeah, wow.
So it's going to, like, you know, help.
You see, I've read about this a long time ago, but I didn't realize it would arrive this soon.
Yeah, in Jerusalem
soon.
First.
Yeah, wow, yes. You see?
I thought you'd be excited. Yeah. Your homeland.
In my homeland.
I don't know what accent I did.
I don't either.
But thanks for appreciating it. I want to go back to flying dreams.
Yeah.
So, you know what's really weird about my flying dreams?
What?
When I fly in them, I only can fly at the top of ceilings.
Really?
Yes. They're always really high ceilings.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a gymnasium, like in a high school, and I'm always flying above everybody.
Right.
And I can have people fly with me. They have to hold my hand, and we start running, and then we take off.
Really?
But we can only get to ceilings.
Mm.
And I asked someone like 3 years ago what that meant, and they said that they, you know, analyzed my dream and said that there's something that's always stopping me.
Right.
You
right.
know, like,
well,
that there's something. What, there's something
that
like
makes sense. Yeah.
And then I also dream a lot about things biting me. Animals.
Really?
I always have like animals attacking me in my dreams, like nipping at my feet and like
really?
Constantly like nip, 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 like everything. And someone else told me that it's because there's something that's bothering me that I'm trying to, you know, get to, that's like trying to get my attention.
Something that's eating you.
Uh-huh. You're so dirty.
I wasn't thinking dirty.
Oh, never mind, me neither.
No, you know, when they ask what's eating you, you know, the animals.
You're trying to be funny.
Yeah, I am.
No, not you are, you're
but
trying.
You... You've got a one-track mind. Don't look at me.
Oh, whatever. Yesterday I said something about like spreading love and kindness, and you just like looked all glazed over, and then you're like, I'm still stuck on spreading. And I'm the one-track mind.
You see, you don't let me live down anything, man.
No.
I better watch what I say.
What fun would that be? What fun would that be?
Your memory's too good for me. Too close.
Well, Sam, anybody's memory is better than yours. Okay.
Yeah.
Remember, Monday we have two guests.
Two guests. Okay. And one is your roommate?
No, none are my roommates. They're both my best friends. One's local, and the other one's from Florida.
Right. Okay.
So
it's Heather that's
Heather
coming?
And
okay.
Becky.
Okay. I didn't realize they were both coming at the same time.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to be together.
Cool. Yeah.
You didn't realize because yesterday
That'll
you talked
cool.
about three vaginas.
I know. I did talk about that. Okay.
I love you.
Three vaginas.
You said it. And then you ask both my friends if they're hot. Like, what do they say? What do you say to that answer? Question. If someone said, are you hot? I'd be like, I don't know.
Now, some people are honest about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wouldn't know how to answer that question if someone said, are you hot? And I'd be like, well, I have brown hair.
Well, do you think you're hot?
Some days.
Okay. Then that's what you should say.
I think I'm
are you
hotter.
Hot some days?
I think I'm hotter in my own mind.
Yeah. Good. That's
but
the way
that's
it should
good,
be.
Right?
Right.
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 And then other days I look in the mirror and I'm like, ooh, not so hot.
It happens to the best of us, I think.
Okay. So you think you're hot?
Yeah. No, I don't.
No, come
I
on.
I don't. I mean, I think.
I mean, do you think you're a good looking guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Little,
doesn't get me
I'm
anywhere.
A little drunk. What are you talking about? You're married. That got you a wife.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, but no, I need to have more money
well,
by now.
You know.
Handsome people have a lot of money.
Here we go. You and that damn money are like my father. Jeez.
Well, that's the way men are, you know, and especially Taurus. You know, I mean, Taurus like have to have financial security. You know, that's what I've been told.
Because then what happens?
Well, then they can stay where they are. They don't have to move a lot.
I'm just trying to get
lot.
You to dig a little deeper. Okay, yeah. So what happens if you had the money, you had all the money that you wanted, would everything run smoother in your life?
Yes, absolutely.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, of course it would.
Really? Like you just think that you'd be so satisfied?
Yeah.
That's
because I'm happy with other areas of my life.
Okay, well, then that's good. Then that's a good answer.
Yeah.
So it'll solve all the rest of your problems.
Yeah.
You won't want chicks anymore.
No. Be able to buy a lot of porn. Inflatable dolls.
All right, there you go. There you go, folks. The truth comes out. Did you know that they have dolls where you can get them like made after the woman?
Yeah.
And mold like your vagina
and
stuff?
Yeah, it's called Real Doll.
Oh, you do know. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them not in action, but when I went to the Erotica LA, I think last year or 2 years ago.
I've always wanted to go to that. That's the porn convention, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, erotic convention.
Erotic my ass. It's all porn. Yeah. You're right.
But that's what you tell like your significant other. It's an erotica convention.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound as bad as like it's a skeezy, sleazy porn place.
Yeah.
Where hopefully you can get banged in the back room.
Yeah. And all the chicks are skanky there, you know? I mean, You know, and guys like want to take pictures with him, and I'm like, why? You
know? You've never taken a picture with them?
No.
Has your wife always been with you?
No.
Okay.
No. I think it's stupid. Take a picture with him. What for? You know.
You've taken pictures of porn stars here.
Yeah. Well, no.
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 Okay.
It's not the same.
I know.
There are guests on the show.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm just playing. Just trying to cash in something.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah.
So now, the book of questions now. How many days in a row have you brought it in?
Listen, that superhero question was right from here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm just going to open.
So so talking about flying, you know, the way I dream it is I can just like wave my arms and I start taking off, you know, and it's like the best feeling ever, you know, nobody else can, just me, you know.
You notice how in my dream I invite people along to fly with me.
Yeah,
you're
know.
Like, ha ha.
That's why I had to mention it.
Because you're not like that.
Yeah.
You show off. Look what I can do and you can't.
Yeah, I need to be one of a kind.
I call it selfish.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, call it selfish.
Well, you're not inviting anybody along with you.
No, but that's okay. I can get stuff for them.
But they're like, I really want a beer. And you're like, don't worry, I'll be right back.
Yeah, I'll go get it for you.
That's awesome. Wouldn't it be so cool to fly?
It would. It really
would. But do you
would.
Get tired in your dreams, like flapping your arms? Does that like tire you, or is it just normal? It's like walking.
Not at all. Not at all. But sometimes I can't take off beyond like, you know, a few inches off the ground. I don't know why that is.
That's the same thing as me flying at the ceiling.
Probably
I think.
With the ceiling,
I
think,
yeah. Uh-huh, I go fly higher than you.
No, but I love flying. I mean, I die to go back and finish and get my license and stuff.
I would love to.
But everybody around me won't let me do it. You know, not a motorcycle, not an airplane, none of that.
I've always wanted to fly.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, flying, going on an airplane is one of my favorite things. I want to be in the cockpit. I wanted to learn how to fly.
Yeah.
But that's a little too technical for me,
I think.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Yeah, but I think it's amazing. And I think if it's a passion you have, you should do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you already had that bad
experience.
Well, you
should too. Why don't you go take lessons? I mean, because the cockpit in a Cessna is not the same as a
jumbo. I just like
jumbo.
The name.
Yeah, I'm sure. I say cockpit and she smiles.
Well, I have to. Okay, I do. Because I have to tell you about this one time in band camp. No. This one time we went out. I went out drinking with my friends and we were in this restaurant and the server was like really just fun and like, you know, just really down to earth. And we were already drunk when we got there. And he was like, can I get anybody any cocktails? And I was like, I'll take some cock. I was like, I'll take cock in my tail.
Oh, you're terrible.
And my friends all looked at me. They're like, did you just say that? I'm like, yeah. And needless to say, the server went out with us drinking later.
Needless
to say. He didn't get any cock.
Any tail?
He didn't get any tail. No.
I see.
But it's been
and
this
he didn't get any cock.
Well, not from him. But it's this running joke now. Like with my friends, I'm like, I'll take some cock in my tail. But anyway, so cockpit. Back
it
to that.
It is funny. Very original.
Just came out of nowhere. It was the alcohol.
Yeah.
Blame it on the alcohol.
Always.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, the flying thing, I think, I don't know. I think it just seems technical, but I would love to be behind. Like, I just really want to be, like, in the cockpit and, like, see everything like that.
It's, like, the best feeling, you know?
Yeah.
You see the runway ahead of you and stuff, you know, and you just, and then you take off. That's the best part, you know, and everything's just.
I love taking off. Did you like landing better or taking off?
No, taking off, because landing is hard.
Landing is the one thing that always, like, scared me on, like, an airplane. I always felt like the pilot is going to run off the runway.
I know, like, they're not going to stop.
Yeah.
Because you come down so fast.
Right,
But it's not the same with the small planes, you know? I mean, you come down pretty slow.
Do you feel like you're in control of a small plane?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so awesome.
It is. It really is cool.
I mean, I jumped out of an airplane. I did the skydiving.
Yeah, I know. See, I would never do that.
Oh, that was awesome, too.
Yeah.
And then motorcycles, like, I went on one in Seattle for the first time, and I fell in love with that too. I was behind. I was
that's
the passenger.
What I figured.
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
But it was like the most freeing feeling, and I think I want to do the same thing.
I bet you think guys on motorcycles are hot, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm getting to know you better.
Why? Because I think everything's hot. Yeah. No, I think anyone that's up for adventure and you know, doesn't worry about any of that stuff, it's you know.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm really drawn to motorcycles, but like I said, you know, I have other people to answer to.
Well, no, absolutely. You know, you've got family and stuff that you got to go home to.
Yeah. Right. But at an early age, I mean, I remember when I was 16 and some of my friends back in Israel got motorcycles. And then one of them, not a guy that I knew personally, but I knew he hung out with some of my friends on their motorcycles, died, you know, he got killed. on the motorcycle. And ever since then, you know, my parents, like, you're not getting one, you know. And it kind of stayed with me, you know. And because when you think, yeah, you're the most careful rider and stuff.
But other people aren't.
But other people, you know.
Right. But I mean, then don't you always feel like if it's your time, anything will happen to you?
No, I never feel that.
You're still carrying around Jewish guilt from your parents. That's really what's going on here.
It is.
No, but I mean, you can walk out in front of a bus and something can happen. You know, you can have a heart attack, something can happen.
That's true, but you couldn't help that. And with a motorcycle, you can avoid it.
I know. Like people say, like, well, you're throwing yourself in more danger.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just like with cigarettes. They're saying it's the most, you know, like...
Yeah, what about that? You won't get a motorcycle, but you'll smoke cigarettes every day
exactly.
of your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You'll, like, have a urinary tract infection because you won't pee, but you'll go smoke a cigarette. You're going to have, like, kidney failure. Sam's big dilemma on break. Should I pee or should I smoke?
Yeah, the
he smokes.
And the cigarette wins every time.
I told him to go smoke in the bathroom. Or I'll pee for you.
Yeah, can you do that? Save me the trip.
Just get a bottle.
Yeah.
Those pee bottles. Just don't do it in here.
I don't believe people that do that in their cars.
They do.
And stuff,
I know, they do. My friend told me to do that. I was like, ew, no. First of all, it's worse for a woman.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I don't need to talk about my peeing habits. edit machine.
Well, you're learning.
I am. There's like three things I want to say today that I did not.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a
good
start.
For you.
Thank
yeah.
you.
You got to filter it out.
I know, especially after the emails I get.
Because once in the archive, forget it, man.
Oh, it's forever in
yeah.
there. I know.
The whole world.
I know, especially when you bring it up to attention with the summary.
Yeah.
I'm like, great, they're going to listen to that one. I was thinking about my dad, like, going, because I finally sent him the page.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, so he's going to read them. Which one is he going to choose? I'm like, I hope he chooses the one that says nothing about sex. Because if he chooses the one with sex, I'm going to be really grossed
yeah,
out.
I'm sure.
Just wrong. Doesn't it feel like Friday?
No.
Okay. Oh, God.
You just had Friday on Sunday.
Oh, right. Friday's a new Sunday. I mean, Sunday's a new Friday. I mean, I don't know. Zero carb. Leave me alone. Well, at least I learned my lesson for tomorrow. None of this.
Yeah, don't get that again. Spend $7 on coffee. That's a lot of fucking money.
Oh, man. No, but I told you yesterday they only charged me $5, so it was my lucky day.
Just go into 7-Eleven or something and get coffee there or McDonald's.
I don't like regular coffee. It's boring.
Yeah, well, they have...
I think tomorrow I'm going to skip coffee for the day and see what happens.
No, don't do it. I'd hate to see you walking in here.
Well, I'm not tired in the morning, and I'm not mopey. Yeah. I'm not grumpy. Like, even when I go to get my coffee, the coffee people always say... They just look at me, and I've had them say, like, 3 times, why do you need coffee? Because I'm like, hi!
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm just, like, addicted to the huggy, fuzzy, lovey, love buggy feeling that it gives me.
I suppose. Love buggy feeling. Yeah. I don't know. I need before the first thing in the morning has got to be like I brush my teeth and then coffee.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Do you wake up grumpy?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes. It's not grumpy. I just feel like I'm not like 100% there.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you need like a shower first?
A shower. I need the whole thing.
Are you a shower at night person or shower in the morning?
No, in the morning.
Person?
Yeah. But in the summer at night as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Are you a peer in the... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to think of like...
Are you a peer?
No,
I pee like the next guy.
I was just going to try to ask you like every stupid personal question I could come up with. And that was like the first thing that popped my head. Do you pee in the morning or at night?
Both.
In the afternoon? I don't know. Now, do you use a washcloth to shower with or do you use this bar of soap?
No, just the bar of soap.
Now, would you... No.
Now, is that important? Do people really give a shit?
Listen, to my crackhead mind right now, everything's important. Yes. Just, I don't know. Would you...
I think we're out of time, Sherry.
I think so, too. Thank you. I was waiting for you to say that.
Saved by the bell, right?
Before you shut me off, because you always shut me off before I get to say anything to our listeners. But
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You always go, thank you, Sherry. Thank you. Goodbye. I'm like... Ah! I always want to wish everybody an awesome day.
I know,
day.
I forget who's in control.
Douchebag.
Douchebag says what?
No, I just always want to wish everybody a good day, and you know, maybe there's a positive message to be had today.
Maybe.
But I think today's show, more than anything, I want people to remember, like, how, you know, how grateful we are for our lives that we have and appreciative we should be for the people around us.
Yeah.
Because things could always be worse.
Yeah. And please, let's all help Allie. I'm going to figure out how to.
Me too.
Yeah.
I know I can give her money.
I'd love to even send her some money, but I don't have any.
I thought the same thing. But then I thought, you know what, Sherry, you spend $7 every day on your coffee.
Yeah.
Would you be
Maybe we'll raise some money on the show, huh?
Okay.
Maybe we can do that.
We'll talk after hours.
Yeah. Make $10. Costs us more to send it to her.
True. I hate that I say that, by the way. My aunt always goes, why are these Jew jokes? I'm like, well, listen to the way we're talking.
Yeah.
No way not to make fun of it. Have
All
a beautiful
right. so
day,
did you say
everybody.
Everything you wanted to say?
Yes.
Wonderful. Have a great, great rest of the day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam and Sherry in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question or comment for the show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Sherry in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.